with oil in Iraq, pipeline in Afghanistan. Indians and Mexicans brought out the cavalry, 'cause they were in the way of manifest destiny. Guatemala had bananas, Somalia has oil, Venezuela has democracy that we wanna spoil. Cuba has cigars and rum, Filipino sugar cane, Colombia had the isthmus and some kilos of cocaine. But now our enemies are treasonous, they tell the truth and that's serious. It's adversity, it's mockery, it's insurgency, hostility, but mostly White House sociopathology. Daniel Ellsberg was once the most dangerous man for telling the truth about the war in Vietnam. And Bradley Manning's murder footage was too graphic of U.S. conduct clearly sociopathic. It's close to blowing, everybody should be knowing about corruption, the waste and abuse. Transparency is treasonous, democracy is dangerous. It's a crime to tell the truth. Edward Snowden told us all what we already knew, that the NSA is taking notes on everything we do. Is it worse that they are spying or covering up with lying, with their files on where we go and with who? It's all so low and everybody should be knowing about corruption, waste and abuse. Transparency is treasonous, democracy is dangerous. It's a crime to tell the truth. Kiriakou fingered Brennan for torture in Guantanamo. Tom Drake, the NSA, for $1 billion a dough. Jeffrey Sterling, CIA, sabotaging nuclear blueprints to Iran, they were passing. It's cold to blow and everybody should be knowing about corruption, the waste and the abuse. Transparency is treasonous, democracy is dangerous. It's a crime to tell the truth. I was on the road in Buffalo on my way to Canada to go to a gig in Detroit. Seems they had me in a file as long as a quarter mile about the songs I sing and every joint. They took my passport with my truck in detention and submitted me to interrogation. I escaped captivity, now only outlaws will be free, living outside the law and outside of this nation. It's cold to blow and everybody should be knowing about corruption, the waste and abuse. Transparency is treasonous, civil liberties are dangerous. It's a crime to tell the truth. It's a crime to tell the truth.
Thanks very much, Tom Nielsen, for that terrific song, It's a Crime to Tell the Truth. And actually, Tom was our guest last week.
Yes, he was.
And you can jump into an archive. I'm New Jersey Dave.
This is California Lynn.
And tonight's program is going to reflect what's going on today. And we're going to talk about Walmart. We're going to talk about direct actions. We're going to talk about protests. And let's talk about Walmart just for a second. You know, the average worker makes $8 an hour. $8 an hour, while the Walton family gets $1.5 million per hour in dividends. And as I understand it, they're taxed at a lower rate than income?
Yes. The dividends are, yes.
How so?
Well, the dividends, if they're qualified dividends, which means if you've owned them for a year and a day, they are not treated as ordinary income, which would be taxed at the top marginal rate. Top marginal individual rate is 39.6%, but dividends are taxed at the capital gains rate, and that top rate is 20%, and the Affordable Care Act tweaked that a little bit, and it's possible you might have to pay another 3.8% on top of that, but still it's a much lower than it would be if it were taxed at your top rate.
So it's favorable to the Walton family.
Of course.
I read something here written by Bernie Sanders. Said U.S. now has more low-paying jobs than any major country on earth. Meanwhile, companies like Walmart pay such low wages that nearly half of the children of Walmart associates receive Medicaid benefits or remain uninsured. Taxpayers should not have to provide corporate welfare to the Walton family, the wealthiest family in America. It's time for Walmart and other low-wage companies to pay a living wage.
And this is from the Americans for Tax Fairness Report, which they put out every year right after April 15th. This is the April 2014 report, which is entitled Walmart on Tax Day, How Taxpayers Subsidize America's Biggest Employer and Richest Family. It says in the report on page 3, Walmart is the largest private employer in the United States with 1.4 million employees. The company, which is number one on the Fortune 500 in 2013 and number two on the Global 500, had $16 billion in profits last year on revenues of $473 billion. The Walton family, which owns more than 50% of Walmart shares, reaps billions in annual dividends from the company, and those dividends, which we just discussed, are taxed at a preferential rate. The six Walton heirs are the wealthiest family in America with a net worth of $148.8 billion. Collectively, these six Waltons have more wealth than 49 million American families combined.
Wow.
Further, the report says that Walmart and the Walton family receive tax breaks and taxpayer subsidies estimated at more than $7.8 billion a year. And the report notes that that is enough money to hire 105,000 new public school teachers.
You know, I know right now we're speaking from New Jersey. I know in North Jersey, between 200 and 300 trade unionists, community activists, and others gathered in a parking lot at a Walmart in North Bergen to demand the $15 minimum hour wage, fair benefits, humane scheduling, and the right to organize and bargain collectively in the largest retail chain in the world. And the theme of our show tonight is really, what is it like to live in a household that's dependent upon Walmart wages? For all of these people who are working in Walmart and stores that are paying less than a living wage, much less than a living wage, they need to stand up, and they do, and they are, and today was an amazing day.
And just to put that in figures on when we say low wage, $8, in response to the Americans for Tax Fairness report, Walmart issued a statement, and their spokesperson said that they pay on average $8.33 an hour.
I stand corrected.
Which is actually greater than the minimum tax, the minimum wage. But so I guess in their defense, they were saying, hey, we pay more than the minimum wage. And to put that in numbers, if a person worked 40 hours a week, every week of the year without without vacation or holiday, they would make $17,300 a year. That's what that translates to. And that's if you could get 40 hours. I've done many, many tax returns for Walmart employees at the clinics that I work during tax season. And most of them, I've never seen a W-2 that was greater than $20,000. So they really have a lot of struggling to do.
Okay. Part of what we're going to talk about today are those protests, and joining us on the program in a little while will be Tom Bias and John Stranka and Brian Powers, and they're spread out, and it's had an exhausting day of activism, so we're going to be talking with them in a little while. And right after this song that we're going to play by David Rovics, it's called Walmart is Coming to Town, then you're going to bring on our first guest, Jada, and you and she will talk about what it's like to live and the finances thereof. But here's David Rovics.
There's 1,000 acres becoming clear. Cut down the forest, the big ones here. Cover the ground with a mass of tar. Make sure there's room for every car. One floor, half mile, massive sprawl. One store wonder, super mall. It's spreading out far and wide, taking over the countryside. Say goodbye to your forests, they're going down.
Walmart is coming.
At the mountains of plastic shit, Chinese prisoners will sweat and bleed, and you'll get all the stuff you need. Walton's children, profits reap, buying low and selling cheap. And what happens to mom and pop? Turn the key and close the shop. Say goodbye to your city, it's shutting down.
Walmart is coming.
The local department store, see the diner shut its door. No more neighbors you can meet, more ghosts than people on the street. No more jobs with living pay. Sam Walton took it all away. Beneath the lights they'll work you bare. The lucky ones can get on welfare. Forget your children, cap and gown.
I don't know if you know the music of David Rovics, but visit him online, Facebook, and check out his music. It's timely, it's provocative, and it's worth a great listen.
Yes, and thank you, Dave Rovics, very much. We talked a little bit about the tax breaks that the Walton family gets, and also Walmart. But let's talk a little bit about the subsidies that they get. So Walmart also, because their employees are low paid, they get subsidies, including but not limited to, and again, this is from the Americans for Tax Fairness. They are eligible for programs such as the National School Lunch Program, School Breakfast Program, Section 8 Housing Program, Earned Income Tax Credit, Medicaid, Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program, and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which is SNAP, but it's also commonly known as food stamps. In fact, in their most recent SEC filing, Walmart mentioned that the cuts that the government made to the SNAP program is going to hurt their revenue because they rely on people with food stamps to come in their store, in addition to their employees eligible, many of them eligible for food stamps, they also are dependent upon them to come in the store and use their food stamps to purchase at the Walmart store.
So a real company store.
Yeah, yeah. They also do quite a bit of lobbying to get the tax laws changed for any sort of income that is offshore. And they also very aggressively are lobbying and working to change the estate tax so that they really are working to zero out the estate tax, which if they were successful in that would save about $3 billion. That's an estimate in the report if they're successful in that. So they're kind of working on many different levels to get the tax breaks and tax subsidies if they want.
Well, they certainly seem to have their hand in, you know, the government's pocket. That's in our pocket. You know, if we're supporting that, that really doesn't make a great deal of sense.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense at all. So
maybe shopping at Walmart is not such a great bargain if you think, you know, what are we paying? $6.5 billion in subsidies to Walmart?
$6.2 billion. The breakdown is cost to taxpayers of Walmart workers relying on public assistance due to low wages and benefits. The cost to taxpayers is $6.2 billion. The cost of federal tax breaks benefiting Walmart is $1 billion. The cost of direct economic development subsidies by state and local governments is $70 million. And then the Walton family, the cost of preferential tax rate on Walmart dividends claimed by the Walton family is $607 million. And if you add that up, that's where they get the $7.8 billion number. And again, the report says that it could hire 105,000 teachers for that money.
That's just unfathomable that they're profiting so much while paying so little and really destroying, in my opinion, the fabric of communities. I know that mom-and-pop shops are faced with competition that they simply cannot meet without going to starvation wages. So it's, you know, we talk about free enterprise, but is that really free when you're dealing with such a giant organization that controls so many things?
True. There have been studies shown across the United States that when Walmart comes into a town, many of the mom-and-pop stores end up closing up because they can't compete. And that's in addition to the trucking costs, the use of trucks on the roads that come in continually for Walmart to deliver goods and services.
Right, the public roadways.
Public roadways, to deliver the massive amount of equipment that they have for each store. And in addition to that,
we have a guest.
We do. Okay, so we have a guest on the line, and Jada is on the line. And Jada, how are you this evening?
I'm surviving, more or less. How are you guys doing?
Welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. I introduced you earlier on by saying that you are someone who lives in a household dependent on a Walmart income. And
yeah.
I wanted to say that I spent the last day or two looking at the Walmart website, which is very colorful and very, very friendly. And homey and just, you know, gosh darn, really, really nice and neat. And I noticed in their annual report on their website, they refer to their ability to deliver low prices as cost discipline. What do you think about that?
I think that I'm sick of us trying to survive on what my partner makes. My partner is the one who works there, Kenny. And I don't know. He lost his good job at a local factory, a little over a year ago, and he's been at Walmart for 6 months now. And it's almost like not having a job. The pay is so low. We're not able to meet any of our expenses. We're on the verge of losing our house. And yeah, they provide low prices and starve people in the process.
Are there any prospects, or when Penny was hired there, what did they tell him? Would there be an annual cost of living increase?
They haven't told him, but I've researched it online, and from what I've been able to find, it's about 20 cents a year per hour. Every year you get an additional 20 cents an hour. He does get a $1 an hour shift differential because he works the overnight shift. But So that brings it up to $8.25 an hour, and it's just, it's not enough. And a lot of times he doesn't get a full 40 hours a week. So.
How often is that? How often do you think he would not get a full 40 hour week?
It hasn't been as bad lately. Normally now he does get 40 hours, but like about once a month he'll have a 32-hour week.
Will they allow him any overtime?
Zero. Absolutely zero. And they watch it very carefully. If you get anywhere near a minute of overtime, they'll have you clock out and go home.
Really?
Wow. Yes. And something they did... several times, something they've done is tell him to come into work at, say, 10 p.m., and when he gets there, they say, well, if you work this whole shift, you'll have too many hours, so you can't clock in for 2 hours. So he just has to sit there and wait 2 hours until he can clock in.
That's ridiculous.
Wow.
And yet the Walton family makes $1.5 million an hour while they're... They're distributing crumbs at 20 cents an hour. What's the likelihood that Walmart can become unionized?
In Arkansas, I don't know, because you know, it's hard to unionize anyone here. People are terrified of losing their jobs. Mm-hmm. And when you go to work at Walmart, you spend several hours in anti-union training. You watch films and take tests about how bad unions are. They just want to take your money and take your power, and you know, and they tell you what to do. If you see anyone distributing information, you're supposed to go to your supervisor immediately and report that person. But it would be hard here. It really would.
Do you see any evidence of protests outside of Walmart or other big box stores that are paying?
Not here, not at all.
No.
The only big box store, we live in a very small town. The population is right around 10,000, so Walmart is our only big box store. But even the groups who are organizing Walmart workers across the country have said specifically, there were several, a few states, five or six, and Arkansas is one of them, where they said don't protest at Walmart because there are such strict laws against it here. And I know that a different corporation here passed a law a few years ago where if you do anything during a protest, if you knock over a street sign or anything like that, it's an automatic 10 years in prison. So that's why people don't come to Arkansas to protest, you know, at Walmart headquarters. Very rarely they do.
So it's a complete culture of fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
Well, now, were you there before Walmart came in to the area? So you could tell us a little bit about what it was like before Walmart came in?
No, it's been here as long as I can remember, from childhood. We've had Walmarts.
And what is the work environment like for Kenny? How does he describe the environment there?
He actually likes working there. As far as he gets along well with the other employees. The night manager is a fairly affable man, and they get along well together. And the work is not really, really hard. He doesn't come home completely exhausted. And, yeah, it would be a really good place for him to work. It's like 1.5 miles away from our house. It's easy to get to. And it would be a great place to work if they paid enough to live on. He could stay there forever. But,
you know, I had a tax client a couple of years ago call me up and said, you know, I haven't filed my return last year, enough time, or whatever the situation was. It's like, I met with him, and we got together with his tax documents, and I prepared his return, and I put it in my briefcase, and I left work, and I went over to the local Walmart where he said he worked in the hardware department. And I walked through the door, and I went to the hardware department, and I said, hi, I'm looking for Charlie Brown. And
that's not his name.
Well, looking for Charlie Brown.
Because that's in the toy aisle.
The toy aisle. And the employee said, looked at me and goes, "Oh, nobody here by that name. There is nobody here by that name." And I said, "Yeah, he's about this height. He's like, I was just such a doe-eyed person." I said, "No, he's about 45 years old, and he's like, nope." And so I walked a little bit further, and I went down to the toy department, and I said, "Hi, I'm looking for Charlie Brown." And I was there, in my work clothes and my briefcase, and the next person.
I thought you were a process server.
The next person said, "Nope, no Charlie Brown here at all. Nope, I don't know what you're talking about. Nope, there's never been anybody here by that name." And the interesting thing is, I should mention it. I had agreed with Charlie to meet him at the store at a particular time so that I could give him his tax form, which he was getting a refund for. He needed to sign the form so I could get it sent. Well, I must have spent 15 minutes in the store. Nobody knew nothing about it. Charlie Brown was working in the hardware department. I got back to my office, and he called me up, and he goes, "Where are you?" And I said, "I was just there." And he goes, I was on a break. I didn't know that. And I said, "Well, I walked in there. Nobody knew who you were." And he goes, "Well, that's kind of how we watch out for each other."
Wow. That's true.
I was floored. I was floored. I said, "Well, you could have let me know that."
We're all in the same boat. We're workers. We're under the thumb of capital every single day. So, it was
actually very heartwarming. Once he explained it to me, I said, "You know what? I should have said no. I had his tax bill. He's getting a refund. I'm coming with money, not to burden him, not to take money." But it was just funny. It was a very enlightening, and I get a chuckle every time I think about it. Just how warm and how good people are, and they watch after each other no matter what.
Yes, I do. Yeah. Everyone there is just, really, really nice and friendly, and they tend to get along well. And, it's not a really bad work atmosphere, except for the pay. That's one bad thing.
How about any benefits, health care or anything? What do they offer?
They offered health care, but he can't afford it on what he's making.
Okay.
I guess we're going to look into Obamacare.
Okay.
So we don't get penalized for not having anything. And I don't know what the rates were or anything. They sent him a package a couple of weeks ago, and he just said, "No, we can't do this." And we can't, we're struggling to keep a roof over our heads right now. So.
I have seen of the tax clients that I've had that come in with the W-2s from Walmart, I will ask them about health care. And I don't think I've found one person yet who said they were able to afford the plan that they offered. I also noticed in the lobby of Walmart, and let me know if that's in the lobby where yours is, that during tax season they have a Jackson Hewlett set up. And I believe that is owned in part or in whole by Walmart. I believe that is a Walmart. And they don't do the taxes for free there, which was I was really floored.
No, they charge a lot. I did that when I was a single mom many years ago. I would go because I needed the money right then, and I could get like a payday loan almost on your tax refund. And it was expensive back then. I can't imagine what it must cost now to utilize those services. But
and those services are free. In many, many places, during tax season. I know that Lynn works a free tax clinic during tax season. Actually, it's all year long.
Yeah.
So people don't have to go in and spend, $200 or $300 on their tax return. Mm-hmm.
We have a food bank in our area here, which is not far from the Walmart. I don't know if that's with the devil or not, but I'll go into the food bank every year. I'll go to the food bank, and I'll say, there's a tax clinic, right down there, right. I give them the address, and there's several of them, when you have people come in, let them know. And I said, I tried to go into Walmart and put a sign up about it, and I was met with a couple of people, manager-type people coming over, what are you doing, And I said, well, I wanted to, put a flyer up on your bulletin board out front here about, free tax preparation. Oh, no, 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 no. We have a Jackson Hewitt that comes in here. I said, but is it free? And they're like, that's what they go, I don't know. I don't get involved in that, you know, when you pin them down, they can't tell you that or not. But.
So earlier you said that there are some pretty strict laws against protest in Arkansas.
Yes. Yes, there's a corporation here, an invest. Pardon?
I'm sorry. I was going to say, didn't you have a governor a while back who became president?
Yes, we did.
What was
his name? I don't know. But his wife.
His name was Slick Willie.
There you go. I knew that's what his name was.
Did you say Quick Willie?
I actually got to meet him on two separate occasions before he became president. And his lovely wife, Hillary, I was a manager of a restaurant in downtown Little Rock for many years that was, I think we were two blocks away from Rose Law Firm. And she was in there all the time. She came to eat lunch several times a week at my restaurant. So I know Hillary.
She was on the board of directors of Walmart,
wasn't she?
Yes, she was. Yes, she was.
And let me get this straight. She's on the board of directors. Quick Willie is governor, and you have laws that prevent protest.
Yes. Yes. There's an investment firm here, Stevens Inc., and they actually some protesters. Were protesting because they were handling investments from some company that did testing on animals. And so the animal rights people were protesting outside Stevens. So they phoned Congress and said, you know, we want this stopped. And immediately there's a law in Arkansas now that you can get up to 10 years in prison for being anything more than a peaceful protester. You can get a 10-year prison sentence. So.
We're going to have a show.
It wasn't actually Walmart that did that, but I'm sure they liked having that protection, you know.
Works then, too.
And, you know, their headquarters are in Bentonville, Arkansas, and I've seen maybe one protest or heard of one protest there ever. That you just don't go there and screw with Walmart because you can go to prison.
My God. Wow.
So...
How do you handle it? What do you, how do you get through the month? What do you do?
Well, we're doing right now, and we've been having to do this for months, and I hate doing it. We set up a GoFundMe page, so my Facebook friends.
Where can we find that?
Where can we find that page?
Well, I guess go to GoFundMe, and you can put in my name, Jada Mitchell. And we get donations from our friends, and that gets us through the month. And if it weren't for that, we would be homeless by now. We would have lost the house and be in the streets. Because there's just not nearly enough in the budget to pay the mortgage payment and the utilities and buy food and everything we need. So that's what we've been doing so far. And Kenny's, you know, looking for a better job all the time and hasn't found one yet. Hopefully something will turn up soon. One benefit he gets at Walmart, after 6 months, you get a 10% discount on some purchases. They don't tell you what things are covered. So it's kind of like, you know, gambling. You go up there to check out and swipe your card and see if you got a discount. One thing that's not covered is food, except candy and soda. You can get a 10% discount on candy and soda. Is that not just insane?
Oh, my God.
Is that taxable in Arkansas?
Yes, food is taxable. But, that's the only food item that you can get the discount on. So, you know, if we were just going to live on candy and soda, you know, we might do that.
Oh, my goodness. But when he's there 6 months, he will be able to get a 10% discount on certain items.
Certain items. And it does cover it. We do get a discount on pet food, and for that I am deeply grateful because we have a lot of cats. But nothing else really that's of use. So, you know, we don't buy anything but food and pet food. And so the discount is really not that helpful. And it amazes me that they don't want their employees to get a discount on, you know, like fruits and vegetables. But they'll give them a discount on candy and soda.
Yeah. Have you been following what's been going on across the country? Normally this day is a big protest for Walmart.
Oh, yes. I'm always, you know, reading news articles about it. And that was, you know, I noticed last night I was reading about all the different protests around the country today, and they said specifically if you live in Arkansas, don't even bother. And there were about, I wish I could remember the other states, there were 5 or 6 states that have really strict laws against protesting.
I was reading the list of Walmart stores in the United States. I did have a list here. It said that I think the first store opened in 1962, and then in 2011, Walmart purchased Massmart in South Africa, and with that purchase, it surpassed 10,000 retail units worldwide. And I was looking at the statistics in the 10,000. I was looking at the statistics in the United States. And the state that has the most, if we're talking about the superstores, you know, the Walmart superstores, the state that has the most of them is Texas, with about 360, something like that. And there's only 2 states that don't have any Walmart superstores. And
Vermont is one, right?
You know what the other one is?
No.
It's Hawaii.
Wow.
So don't think that you're going to be able to go to a Walmart when you vacation in Hawaii.
Oh my God.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah.
You know, you were mentioning earlier about you're having difficulties with your mortgage, as so many people across the United States are. And I just want to tell you that we have a program that will be on within the month, and it will be speaking about public banking and a national stop foreclosure program that will end predatory and illegal mortgage foreclosures and put people back in their homes or keep them in their homes at a tremendous reduction in housing costs, making it affordable.
Well, I look forward to learning about that. We applied for a loan modification through the mortgage company and got turned down because we don't make enough money. And I'm thinking, well, you know, if we made enough money, we wouldn't need a modification. We could just pay our mortgage. But you have to have a good enough income to qualify, and we don't with Walmart wages. So.
Yeah, I've said this before, but I'll reiterate. Perhaps as many as 85% of the mortgage loans that were written between 2002 and 2008, I know you don't fall into that window, but it still might help you. 85% of those mortgage loans are unenforceable as mortgage loans because they are, in fact, they fail to comply with U.S. law, and they're unenforceable. And I'm hopeful that a nationwide program utilizing the power of eminent domain, which can seize these allegedly illegal mortgage notes and make the owners of those mortgage notes come and prove that they have any rights whatsoever to foreclose on anyone's home. So we need a national program using eminent domain and public banking to administer that, and we will see a remarkable turnaround, a major shift in the nation's housing wealth. So that's coming up, and that's something, you know, there are so many groups that are impacted by such horrific conditions, and they think they're alone and they're isolated, but the reality is all these problems are connected, and it's the economic system that we live under.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at students, you know, students who are really student loan wage slaves. You know, instead of, you know, making $8 or $9 or $10 an hour servicing $150,000 worth of debt, they should be out there mobilizing as a class, you know, politically and economically, and start saying, hey, we want these laws changed. We want student loan debt to be forgivable in bankruptcy. We want student loan debt to have zero interest. we want it to be about us. And guess what? There are a lot of us.
Yes. The important thing is to show how we're all connected. Connected just like those employees at Walmart that wouldn't let me see Charlie Brown or know that he worked there.
Yes.
We are all connected, but because our problems, and because our problems are financial, they fall under the realm of embarrassing or something that you don't want to talk about because you might think that somebody might think differently of you. And yet we are all connected. Part of our reason for doing this show is to get that word out that if you're a student with $80,000 or $20,000 or $100,000 with a student loan debt, you're not alone. And there are, 20-year-old kids and there are 80-year-old grandmothers, and they've got debt, and we need to get everybody together to understand what's involved and to work on a solution to this instead of, throwing hands up or trying to suffer by yourself handling it. We need to work together.
John, we had a text question come to us, and the question is, what do store managers or department managers at Walmart make compared to the $8.50 an hour that the average worker makes?
I don't know. I really don't. I have no idea.
Did I keep it a secret?
Probably so. They're very, very secretive about everything. Like I said, they don't tell us even, what we're going to get a discount on. It's like, playing roulette or something. So I really have no idea. I know that Kenny's supervisor, the nice night manager, I like him. I like because he lets me feed the stray animals that hang out there. Some places have a problem with that, but he knows I'm out there feeding dogs and cats at night. But I know that he drives a really, really nice Corvette, brand new.
Oh.
So he's doing okay, I would say.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't seem, exactly fair to the folks that are working in your department. That's how they choose to do that.
Yeah. Well, listen.
I asked Kenny today, if anyone that he knows of who works there is a single person, who doesn't have other income, and he said not one person that he's talked to. People either live with their parents or they have a spouse who has a decent job somewhere else, and that's really the only way you can afford to survive at Walmart. I never would go to work there when I was a single mom because I knew that it was impossible, that I could not raise a child and pay our bills.
Right.
Well, we're going to take a break and play a little bit of music right now. It's from Ben Groskop's Walmart Sells, and after which we're going to be from some folks that are actively protesting working conditions in Walmart and other stores.
And we thank you very much for coming on to talk to us.
Thank you. It was very courageous.
Thank you.
Do you have a Facebook page that maybe might be able to get to your GoFundMe page? Tell us about it.
It's Jada Mitchell. I'm the only Jada Mitchell on Facebook. It's J-O-D-D-A Mitchell. And I'll post a link to the GoFundMe page.
If you do that and we can get 100 people to kick in $10, that might help you through another month.
Definitely. Thank you so much for letting me get on the soapbox and talk to people. I enjoyed it.
We thank you.
Good night, Jada.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye, y'all.
Bye.
Dashing through the store in a big blue Walmart smock, o'er the aisles I tore, shelving all the stock. It's hard to keep this pace while watching wages fall. How sad to work inside this place with no respect at all. Oh, Walmart sells workers down a hole. $9 an hour leaves our families on the dole. Oh, Walmart sells, and when they get their way, the executives live better, and we get crappy pay. A day or two ago, I thought I'd take a break, but soon my manager said that was a mistake. He says to help the team and serve the company, but why should Walmart's profits soar when none come back to me? Oh, Walmart sells workers down a hole. $9 an hour leaves our families on the dole. Oh, Walmart sells, and when they get their way, the executives live better, and we get crappy pay. Stand up and join the fight. Our numbers growing strong. Support the workers' strike and sing this freedom song. We're fighting for 15. Together we'll succeed. We're gonna win a living wage and beat back corporate greed. Oh, Walmart sells workers down a hole. $9 an hour leaves our families on the dole. Oh, Walmart sells, and when they get their way, the executives live better, and we get crappy pay. The executives live better, and we get crappy pay.
Ben Grosskopf, and I'm so delighted that he asked us or gave us permission to play that song. As promised, our next guest is an actual socialist, not a pretend socialist. John Sprinka is the National Mail Vice Chair, and he's also chairman of the Socialist Party's Labor Commission. John hails from the 39th District in Indianapolis, or close to Indianapolis. John, do you hear us?
Yes, hi. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. You must be exhausted after today's activities.
Well, yeah, it was a pretty busy day today. We had a lot of people out at the Walmarts and so forth, and just a lot of activity going on in general. Because it's been quite busy lately.
So I guess you were able to separate protests and demonstrations regarding Walmart and the minimum wage with Ferguson. I know there are a lot of Ferguson.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm glad you brought that up, and you know, I didn't really know how you wanted to handle that. Now, our planned actions, of course, I mean, Socialist Party USA, was in terms of labor actions and so forth. And that sort of thing we had planned. Now, as it turned out, our local, particularly in St. Louis, which, you know, Ferguson area, was out protesting, and a number of our other locals in other cities were out protesting on Monday when the decision came down. And it's kind of interesting because as you go through the demonstrations today, some of the larger ones, certainly in St. Louis, the protesters shut down the Galleria Mall. It was a peaceful protest. There were no arrests, but it did physically shut down the mall for a couple of hours.
Wow.
And that was all tied in Black Sunday and honoring Black Lives, that sort of thing. So what happened is we had a lot of actions today, a lot of protests. Some of the larger ones, particularly in St. Louis, I think also in various protests in New York and Chicago, also linked into the outrage over Michael Brown and the Ferguson, failure of the grand jury to indict. Nonetheless, in a lot of smaller areas, basically the Walmart actions went down as scheduled, where the message was primarily, it was basically that Walmart should pay its employees a living wage. And that ties in with one of our objectives, which is, of course, that we believe that all workers you know, should receive a living wage, and that a living wage in this country is somewhere approximately around $15. In point of fact, our national platform calls for an immediate increase to a $15 an hour minimum wage. And so that is, you know, consistent with one of our stated objectives. Again, it has been kind of an interesting week because as important as the living wage is to us, the outrage in Ferguson, I mean, has, you know, deeply saddened and outraged all of us because it is such, well, it's such a blatant, you know, disregard of human life by our capitalist system that it, you know, it can't be ignored. I mean, that the failure to indict is it's just one of the things that indicates the unfairness of our society. So there was some mixed messages, but the good side of it is the synergy of the two events probably brought more people out than ever before, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, if you saw that there were more people out because of what happened in Ferguson, out today.
Yeah, well, Ferguson definitely, I mean, brought more people out. There have been people out in major cities and minor cities, I mean, all week long, and it just spilled over into Black Friday. Now, some of the Black Friday protests were as scheduled, and there were different groups that were involved with that. Okay, one of the major groups was our Walmart, and specifically the UFCW union. So they took different forms because the various state laws differ. You know, in some of the demonstrations, the protesters went right into the store, you know, and engaged employees, and others, they picketed outside the store. And in still others, they were essentially removed from the parking lot, which is classified as private property, and protested from the street. So they're depending on the specifics of the situation, there were a lot of protests. But there were protests in dozens and dozens of cities, and the larger ones in the larger cities had hundreds of people. So it was, by and large, a very good turnout.
Did you go into Arkansas?
We do not have a local in Arkansas. We did not send anybody into Bentonville specifically. What we do at with the Socialist Party, with the SP and the Labor Commission, we're basically a very decentralized bunch. Okay. And so what we do is that our Labor Commission tries to coordinate and post information for our various locals, and then the locals respond in the way they best see fit. In other words, we're not a centralist organization. We can't tell our locals, well, you're going to do this, but we say, well, this is what we're planning, and we'll have literature, and here are some talking points, and basically provide support, and the locals, pick it up from there. We're very grassroots, ground up that way. So no, we did not. SP did not protest Bentonville. I've noticed a number of other protests. In reviewing today's news, I did not see if there was one directly at Walmart headquarters. I can say that we did not participate because we do not have a strong local organization in Arkansas.
I don't know if you heard our previous guest, Jada, but she was from Arkansas. She's from Arkansas, and she was telling us that there is a law that was passed that said that if a demonstrator was out demonstrating and did something as innocuous as knocking over
a garbage can
or something, they could be arrested and they could be subject to up to 10 years in jail for that. So,
well, this is not unusual. I mean, this is consistent with what I said, at the top of the segment, which is that different states and different localities even, but primarily on state levels, to have radically different laws. And what's happened essentially is that the First Amendment is not really taken into consideration, which is to say the freedom of assembly, when the interests of capital are threatened. Okay. And unfortunately, that is not an unusual situation. There are other states where protesters are denied their First Amendment rights. They're not allowed to communicate with the public on private property. You know, they're asked to leave from the stores and the parking lots and so on and so forth. And, of course, well, illegality is going on. Talking about Walmart, Walmart has an atrocious record of retaliation. I mean, if you complain about the working conditions at Walmart, if you even try to organize, even though it's illegal, they will retaliate against the employees. And with the state of the NLRB, it's going to be a long time, if ever, before redress comes. So that, again, that is one of the strongest indications why we need not only liberal reforms, okay, such as a living wage, a $15 an hour minimum wage, but where we also have to move towards socialism, because in a socialist society, the rights of people take precedence over the rights of property. Under the current system, however benign a face you put on it, the ultimate arbiter is going to be the rights of property. And consequently, we get laws that, you know, essentially, nullify the workers' rights to, practice their constitutional rights, First Amendment specifically.
What kind of response did you get from the consumers at Walmart? Did you get what kind of feedback can you give us on that?
Well, the consumers, I would like to say that it was a warm response. One of the issues, Black Friday, of course, is chosen because that's where the people are. People see you, you can talk to people. It does make an effect. Personally, most people are preoccupied on Black Sunday. There are other venues and so forth, rallies where you can, participate in what I would like to call consciousness raising, where you can get people to think about why the system is wrong. You get a few people like that on Black Sunday. Frankly, the propaganda machine is very good. Most of the people are fixated on picking up the material possessions at a slightly cheaper cost. I mean, it's sad to say, but unfortunately, our populace has been conditioned to think of freedom in strictly capitalist term. The only freedom we have is the freedom to try and find a sale, at a capitalist establishment, and that's certainly not what we think of it as.
Right.
We don't. The 99%, unfortunately, they do not think of themselves as a class. They don't consider themselves a working class. I know that on December 12th, we're going to have a program, and it's called What Does It Mean to Be Working Class? And we're going to have a couple of guests, artists, and speakers. We have Professor Louis. I don't know if you know him. It's going to be a terrific show. And we have some representatives from People for a New Society, and they're going to be talking about a model for an economic democracy. Put whatever label on it you want, we need an economic democracy.
Well, that sounds like an excellent show. And, I mean, economic democracy is really one of our, key principles. And, of course, as socialists, we expand that into essentially saying that the people should control not only their workplaces but their own communities by democratic means. And with the current system we have, late American capitalism,
It sounds like you would be a terrific guest for that program, and I think I'm going to email you off the program and see if you're available for that.
Oh, yeah. We'd love to. I mean, Socialist Party would love to have somebody participate in that because, we couldn't agree more strongly. And the definition of working class has really, I mean, it's changed a lot since the 19th century, right? And, you know, a lot of people are still sort of confused about that. And if I may, our opinion on it, okay, is that we really like the Occupy terminology. You know, we really like the 99%, because what happens in contemporary society, if you look at the class interest, okay, your small business owners, people like that, no longer have an interest in a petty bourgeois value system, okay? I mean, when
John,
you look down
at it, it sounds like we're moving into the next program.
Okay, well, I don't want to do that. You keep me on track, but it is something, you know,
but
a lot of the work that needs to be done is,
no,
is awareness, making the 99% aware that the game is stacked against them. And the only way to fix that, control of our economic institutions and our political institutions ourselves.
And on that note, I'm going to say thank you so much for joining us. I am going to email you, and maybe we can get together for that other program.
Thank you very much.
I want to say thank you very much, John, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again.
Okay, it was a pleasure talking with you. Thank you for having me on your show. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. And with that, we are going to invite Mr. Tom Bias, who is our next guest. He is the treasurer for Labor Fight Back, and that's a national network of groups that are fighting for, well, they're all fighting for justice. So we're going to bring Tom on right now. Tom, can you hear us? I think we might have lost Tom. We have lost Tom. In that case, we are going to go to Brian Powers. Tom, please call us back. We're going to go with Brian Powers. Brian, can you hear us? Uh-oh. We have some technical difficulties.
Uh-oh.
Did we pay our cable debt? Who do we have?
This is Brian. Can you hear me?
Hi, Brian. We must have paid the cable bill. All right.
Okay, cool. All right. I was just hopping on the messenger to see if you heard me. There was some confusion on this end as well. So,
So you must be, again, exhausted after today's activities. I'm surprised you still have a voice.
Actually, I have to thank all the 15 activists that were out on the streets today. I was not personally. I was held up. I had the baby.
You were held up?
And I was held up at home. I had the baby, and I could not be in 2 inches at once. And I was needed at home this morning. So, I was in contact with our activists out on the street, Megan and Elon and everybody that was out there at the Walmart in North Bergen. I helped them do some postings and stuff, and I'm real proud of 15 Now today going out. And like you said, everybody lost their voice on the street, so I got the honor and privilege of coming on and talking to you guys tonight.
You know, I'm afraid we lost the introduction. You are from 15 Now, New Jersey. You are spearheading that with some terrific and energetic activists that it's almost everywhere you look. You know, you're out there with your tables and your literature, and your ranks are swelling. And I think that's absolutely terrific. And where can we find out about your organization?
It has been exciting, man. You can go to www.15nownj.org. I put up some pictures and a little bit of video from the action at Walmart today, where we joined a number of labor unions and Occupy activists. And, the labor union movement really needs a little spark, and I think 15 Now helped provide a little bit of that today. But like you said, we're growing, and we've got a lot more to come.
And how did you find the customers of Walmart, the patrons that were going into shop? How did you find them today?
I didn't hear much into it. The police line was held pretty well at that protest, from what I understand. The march was short, and then there were some speakers in the Walmart. There were some people that wanted to take some more militant action, but I guess they didn't come to a consensus. You know, 15 now has been going into stores and talking to workers. We're not a labor union, though. And I did catch a bit of your last caller speaking about labor laws, or laws on going onto property. And, you know, labor law, if you're trying to organize a center and you're in a labor union, or you're a union organizer who's trying to do that, you step foot on that property, you jeopardize the organizing job. So, you know, labor unions are tentative to do, you know, more walk into the store and, you know, talk to, you know, workers in protest. They try to do that off company property so that they can maintain the integrity of the organizing drive. 15 Now is not trying to organize a labor union. We are a grassroots organization that's working on legislation. So we're more prone to actually get on the shop floors and take a little more of a militant type stance, you know.
Well, 15 now, 20 next year for sure.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, brother.
Have you gotten any calls from activists on the street who had some extraordinary experiences? Did they have people who wanted to sign up in solidarity? I mean, what was the feel out there?
I mean, yeah, we got sign-ups today. They got about 100 sign-ups today. I mean, everywhere we go with the petition. Like you said, you've seen us on the streets. We always have our petitions with us. Our activists go out there pretty well-armed with the petitions and the pens and tow. And, you know, everywhere we go, we do get a really good response, and we build our list. And, you know, today was no different.
Well, we very much appreciate your insight. And how's the baby?
He's good. He's good. Mommy and baby are okay. You know, it's just a week into it and still trying to adjust to having five children. It's a big adjustment. We had to move some rooms and some furniture and stuff, but we're getting every day it gets
less. I hope you didn't buy furniture at Walmart.
Oh, no, man. No, I built my own, dude. I go out and chop the tree down or something. I'm a hippie. I'm not a fake hippie. I'm a real hippie, dude. I go out and back and chop a tree down and make a crib out of that thing.
Awesome.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on, and I hope that we hear from you very, very soon.
I will, and I'll get one of my activists from off the street the next time, but they were all in bed by now, and their voices are shot. So, but I promise you the next time we'll have somebody that's been out on the street.
Thanks for the work you do, Brian.
Thanks, Brian, so much.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, Brian really is an amazing guy. He's just out there all the time. If he's home with his baby, I'm sure he's on, you know, three different phones at one time, organizing, and that's quite a sacrifice. That's what we need.
Yeah.
And I'm hopeful that our technical difficulties have been straightened out. We did pay the cable bill, so we do have access here. And I would like now to bring on our guest, Tom Bias, who I believe I got half of an introduction before, but unfortunately, we got cut off. Tom is a member of the New Jersey Industrial Union Council and treasurer of the Labor Fight Back Network for Social Justice Trade Unionism, which is something we're hearing about today. We really need it. Tom, can you hear us, I hope?
I hear you. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine.
Hi, Tom.
Okay, good. That's excellent. I hung up and called back in, so I think that might have solved the problem.
Well, we appreciate
anyway,
you doing that. I'm sure it was on my end.
Okay. I know Brian. I've known Brian for quite some months now, and I was at the Walmart at North Bergen today that he was describing. He was unable to get to it, but I was there. And it was a good action. It was about several hundred people there. A couple of buses came from New York City to come into Walmart. Now, it was led by people of faith. It was led by some clergy members from different religious groups. And they were not real inclined to defy the police. Police denied us any kind of access to Walmart. They kept us away from the parking area. They didn't throw us entirely out of the parking lot, but they moved us to a fairly remote part of the parking lot away from the store, where we basically just held a rally with speakers.
Was there any media coverage, Tom?
There was considerable media coverage. There were sound trucks from major networks, video being shot. I haven't seen any. I haven't had a chance to look at any television or listen to any radio since then. But it looked to me like there was considerable media coverage. And of course, I was there with my camera and shooting a lot of pictures. So that was helpful too. And that's where were a lot of people. So the word is getting out.
Do you have a Facebook page where we might be able to see some of your photographs?
I have posted them on Facebook. Yes. So
and that's Tom Bias.
Thomas Bias, yes.
Thomas Bias. And you've been putting out some great photographs and videos for quite some time. You have quite a collection, and it's a great resource if you want to become more informed.
Yeah, I'll be adding some of those to I do web mastering for the Industrial Union Council. That's one of my jobs, and we'll share some of those photographs there too. It was a good day. I wish we had been able to get closer to the store.
Well, tell us a little bit about the police. Okay, so this was North Bergen, correct?
Correct, yes.
So police are there to protect the private property of Walmart?
Yeah, they're I guess they're afraid that protect and serve, defend and protect, preserve, protect and defend the property rights of the 1% against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Exactly. It's just mind-boggling to me. It shouldn't be, but you said no. We went to Walmart, but the police were there. And and then they put us over in this corner.
Here's the thing. I come out from, I drove out from Hackettstown. Okay, if you know where that is, it's well over an hour. Yeah, it's well over an hour's drive, and so I can't. And I'm not a young man, so first thing is I needed to get to a bathroom, and so I went in. We got there before the crowds did, and they had. In front of the door, they had a maze of barricades. And you had to go through, a dozen barricades zigging and zagging through there to get into the store. So I go in, find the bathroom, and then I come back out, and then I'm told, no, you can't come out the exit over here. You got to go to the other end of the store to exit. And I'm inside the store. It's like an armed camp. There was just security guards and police, and the demonstrators hadn't even gotten there yet. And so
here's my thought as you're talking about that is, first you said police, and
am I talking to Linda, by the way?
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Okay.
Are the police there? Are they getting paid by the taxpayers today for that, or are they hired separately by Walmart to work that specific day, and they are off duty but working privately for Walmart? That's the question, I guess, that comes up in my mind. Who are the police?
To be honest with you, it makes no difference to me, because as far as I can see, government, big business, they're the same.
Mm-hmm.
One government is just the agency that defends big business with weapons.
Right.
And so whether the taxpayer is, I suspect that the police are being paid by the taxpayers of Bergen County, or Hudson County, I guess it is, where North Bergen is. And then Walmart has its own security guards that are paid by Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw people in uniform. I didn't really look closely at what uniforms they were, but there was a strong police presence and there was a strong security guard presence inside and outside the store. And I'm not going to get into the legalities of it or the technicalities of it, but Walmart was making sure that things were going to go without that there wasn't going to be any kind of message that they didn't want to have taken to their consumers or their workers today. And the funny part of it is that while we were out there having a rally, it didn't look like that many shoppers were coming in, even to Walmart.
Well, I hope that means that people are beginning to realize that we're all in this together, whether you work at Walmart or whether you shop at Walmart. I mean, we're all workers here, and we're all under the thumb
That's
of
right.
employers and a system that is really set up, well, certainly not to help us. So,
no, absolutely not.
Our first guest, John, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is that what concerns me more than anything about what's going on right now is that we had the economic crash in 2008, and we're still the business class is recovering from that, but working people are not. And you know, certainly in my own life, I took a real hit. I was laid off at I was not quite 60 years old, and I was forced into retirement with about no more than 6 weeks severance pay and a 401k that had rotted because
right.
of the stock crash. So it was worth very little. So I have been living essentially on Social Security for 4 years. I had to give up my house. And I've been just struggling to survive for 4 years. And I'm looking at the younger people, like my 25-year-old daughter, they're all saddled with massive student debt, cars. They can't buy houses. They can't, and if they're not buying houses, they can't buy refrigerators and washers and dryers and any, you can just add up the consumer goods that they are not going to be buying. I believe that there's another shoe that's going to drop when this hits the fan, because
it's hitting
people
the fan. It's hitting the fan now.
I think that's true, and that's what I was seeing today with the. That's why I think the crowds were not what they could have been at that shopping center. There were plenty of parking spaces there, and I know that in past years, I've gone to different shopping centers during this season of the year and had to cruise around for 20 minutes before I could find a parking space. Not anymore. Not anymore.
Despite what we're being spoon-fed in the corporate-owned media, the majority of us have not seen any recovery, and we are
stepping
dangerously backwards into, you know, what half of the people in the United States are now living at or barely above the poverty level. Half of us.
I see it. This describes my own life. You know, my family is not so far above poverty. We're hanging on by a thread, we do a lot of stuff. We've all found part-time jobs, and because of my wife and I are both collecting Social Security, our income is capped. So if we earn over that amount, we lose Social Security benefits, which you know, all right, that's a balance we have to strike.
This system doesn't give a rat's ass about you or your problems.
That's for damn sure.
Trying to patch up this system, you know, might sound good in the short run, but we really need to have a radical transformation of our economic system in order to...
We do indeed. And the question really is, how do we get from where we are and the consciousness of working people that where it stands now to the place where people are ready to walk off the job altogether, to elect democratic councils that can take over and start running things instead of the government of the 1% that we have now? How do we get from here to there?
I think a lot of it depends upon the actions that were visible today.
Of course it does. Of course it does. And how do we, partial struggles like the struggle for a $15 an hour minimum wage, the right to organize, the struggle against police brutality, all of these things need to be done in such a way, and I think that they are being done in that way to a great extent, so that people will be involved in it, but as they are involved in it, they learn stuff, and that radicals need to be involved, have their feet on the ground, and walking the walk as well as talking the talk, to explain that, yes, we do need a radical change, that you can't just tweak the system. The problem is not that the Waltons are greedy people, which is what was being said today by, and I'm not going to put for their religion. I'm a Christian myself, and I'm a church-going person. But, the fact of the matter is it's not a moral failing on the part of the Waltons. If they were not greedy, if you will, and if they didn't exploit their workers to the extent that they did, their competitors would. And their competitors would undersell them. And then they would be in danger of going out of business. It's the system itself perpetuates that kind of greed. It's built in, and those who are the fair employer is going to be cast aside, and that's why this system has got to be destroyed root and branch, and replaced with a system of, by, and for the working people.
A system that has perhaps never yet been seen.
Correct. Not completely, anyway. There have been, to a great extent, I believe that to a great extent, the Cubans have really tried hard to bring that about. There are flaws in the Cuban economic model and political model, to be sure. But they've made a good faith effort.
And we can certainly
set a good example.
We can cherry pick
mm-hmm.
what we need. We can cherry pick what we need from systems that have extraordinary characteristics. We can discard characteristics that we don't. I mean, we're smart people. I mean, we do everything. We make everything work. We make everything run. We do all the work. So why should not we devise a government?
Tony Nozaki had a great slogan. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He was the international secretary treasurer of the oil, chemical, and atomic workers, and one of the most far-sighted labor leaders I ever met. And he had the slogan, says, working people make the country run. Working people should run the country. And that's it. One of the things I believe that would help us get to that point. One of the things that Tony Mazzocchi advocated was that workers should stop voting for the Democrats or Republicans in some cases and launch a party of their own. And I served as a delegate to the founding Congress of the Labor Party, Convention of the Labor Party in Cleveland, Ohio, in 1996. I was a New Jersey delegate, as were a number of other IUC activists, including Bennett Sarofsky and Bill Kane and Ray Stever and Mark Dudzik and some other good folks. It was a terrific attempt. It was derailed, but we need to try again, and we need to learn from the mistakes we made in the 90s. But I think it's essential that we recognize that we're never going to get anywhere voting for the Democratic Party, let alone the Republican Party. I mean, it's the choice
party that is corporate controlled.
Yeah.
No matter what they call
the choice is between the choices between, if you will, our true enemies or our false friends. Well, that's no choice.
Right.
You know? And even at that, a Labor Party, which is, I believe, an important thing and a good thing and a positive thing, is not the complete answer. Because all we have to do is look at Brazil, where they have a Labor Party that reached out and united the entire working class. They won the majority in their Congress, and they have held the presidency for 12 years, and they haven't accomplished nearly what they should have. And it's not because I don't believe it's because Lula or Dilma are inadequate leaders or bad leaders or this, that, or the other thing. It's the capitalist government itself, which is part of this. They have not taken control of the economy, and the government is always going to reflect who controls the economy. And they're just trying to, administer a kinder and gentler capitalist state. And ultimately, it doesn't work. It's got to be torn out root and branch and replaced with genuine economic democracy from the bottom up. I could
not have said that better myself. And I think that's the basis for a future conversation. I'm looking at the clock, Tom, and I'm afraid that we're going to have to finish up. And again,
I said what I needed to say, and I'm glad we agree. We're going to have more conversation in the future. And thank you for having me on. This has been terrific.
We will talk to you again, and
we'll be working together again.
Great.
All right. Good night. Have a great weekend.
Good night. Bye bye. And that was Tom, and the important work that he is doing. We didn't even scratch the surface. So many of the people that we have been speaking with, they're so involved, and I speak to them late at night, and we just can't get done what we need to do. I do have to make a few closing notes. My co-host had to leave. It's tax season coming on pretty soon. December 5th, we're going to have a program about chemtrails. That's chemtrails. We're going to have guest singer-songwriter Jeff Satson and bioengineer Russ Tanner, and they're going to talk about those streaks of white which linger behind jet aircraft, which many people believe to be an elaborate scheme to block the sun with aerosols or worse. And we'll talk about crowd control and behavior manipulation. We're going to do that on December 5. And then on December 12th, I think I mentioned this before, the show is going to be What Does It Mean to Be Working Class with Professor Louie, which it's going to be a great show. I'm really looking forward to that. And in an upcoming show, maybe the middle of December, we're going to have Dr. Jill Stein, whom I had the pleasure of meeting and talking to at the Climate Convergence in New York City when I was there with Acronym TV. We had a nice chat. And incidentally, Acronym TV has archived so many programs, and I truly recommend that you go to Acronym TV and watch some of the videos if you want to be better informed about the critical issues that we face. And with that, I'm going to introduce our closing song, and it is called For the 99, written by a good friend, Jimmy Clerico, and it's a great song. Good night, folks.
We are the 99, refugees of a grand design, victims of one and the same party line. We need to give chase to the space they occupy. Hey, we're doing swell. See how we work like hell. All for the minimum wage. See how we struggle in the brave new age. Hey, Mr. Union Man, where have you gone for to help us make a stand against the greedy cooperative? They took our train, ran it right into the ditch. Ain't it a bitch? Time to pull the switch. Hey, how'd you get to be so rich, Mr. Congressman? And who do you represent? Is it the 1% who pays the rent? Attends every event with a political bent. It's over the top. And who will arrange your next photo op? And when they tell you they're only trying to sell you somebody's vision of a dream. Jungle out there, give me my Medicare, give it to me now, once and for all. If we got to get our backs from up against the wall, it's all been a show, and now you gotta go. You gotta listen when history tells you so. That's when the people lead, the leaders will follow. There's nothing to confuse, just walk a mile in our shoes. Getting to know the working man's blues. But you won't hear us counting on the fair and balanced news. They tell you, they're really trying to tell you somebody's vision of a dream. Oh, oh, somebody's vision of a dream. Some screwed up version of a dream. Or like a nightmare, makes us want. It's a spirit, it's a state of mind. Roll on 99. Roll on 99. 99. It's a spirit, it's a state of mind. Roll on.